All righty. Well, good evening and welcome to our regular scheduled board meeting for March 8th at 7 o'clock. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee Kargi?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Hennick?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Adusi?
Here. If I can ask you, please stand so we can say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Okay. All right, very good. Okay. So we have no citizen comments tonight. So I will go ahead and ask, thank you, Lisa. I'll go ahead and we'll go around and we'll ask Erica Bachner, Trustee Bachner, if you've got any comments.
Yes, hello everyone. I'd like to start off with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I also wanted to just say happy International Women's Day to everybody. This year, the organization that puts out International Women's Day, their theme for the year is Choose to Challenge. So as women, I offer up to choose to challenge ourselves and to choose the to challenge the systems in place, especially around equity. And also for everyone in particular to choose to challenge what is gender and what is inclusivity in that. And so you might think more broadly around transgender folks and the queer community. I did want to also just mention that the application for the Equity Advisory Group is still open. So you can go to the website if you want to go ahead and apply to that. And I wanted to acknowledge our Oak Park River Forest High School swim team. I had heard that in the past 10 days or so, they've broken 10 pool records. And some of these records were decades old. And I'm getting this information from a resident, Laura Husby. And as she mentions, to have one pool record fall in the season is a huge deal. And to have 10 is very extraordinary. So I just want to congratulate all those people. And that is hugely significant. It's crazy town. So that, and then also I have also heard the latest stat around COVID vaccinations in the state is it looks like there are 3.3 million people in the state of Illinois who have gotten vaccinations to date. And so I love hearing about that, and there are opportunities to get vaccinated. And so to the extent that people are looking for that, just continue to keep an eye out. Information comes in rapidly, and we just don't ever really know when they're going to call the next section or the next group of people to get vaccinated. So just keep on the lookout for that.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so Tom?
Congratulations to the OPRF swim team. I did not know that. To further what Erica just said, I did this today. You can register with the Cook County Department of Public Health to get notifications about the availability of vaccines. I don't remember the website, but it's fairly easy to find. You can go through the ZocDoc website, which is what I originally went through, but that's only for Chicago residents. Cook County has a separate registration program. And according to the website, once you are eligible for the shot, you'll then be advised about the possibility of getting it. So just something to take into consideration. And that's all I have.
Yeah, so let me just intervene right here. Yes, we just sent out a communication this evening. Everyone who is on our email list should have received the communication. If you know somebody that's not on our email list, please have them sign up for our email alerts. But bottom line is, at the United Center, it was originally open to all of suburban Cook County and City of Chicago. And then FEMA at the federal and the state level restricted that to the City of Chicago primarily for equity purposes to ensure that, the Chicago land people were getting their vaccination. So we do have availability. If you go, as Tom said and Erica, if you go on the Cook County Department of Health website, you will find a direct link to sign up for vaccinations. And they're available. I think they're going to become more available, I believe, right?
Sure. So there's information in the Marchie News and then the communication that we sent out today. Mm-hmm. It's also on the Village's. Sorry, let me turn my microphone on. It's also on the Village's social media sites on Facebook, right, where residents can go, and that's something that we've been posting on an ongoing right. basis, the different sources that residents can utilize to locate vaccination appointments. The CDC has helped launch a vaccination finder, so all of that information is available, and if residents still aren't sure, they can certainly call us and we can help them navigate that.
Yeah, right. So just so that in case it doesn't get repeated. So, yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, so, Red?
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I also want to give a shout out to D200 for their swimming accomplishments. Terrific news for everybody. The second thing I do is want to also thank, again, all who participated in the second vaccination clinic. Kudos to everyone, and Kathy, the village staff, and everyone else who participated in that. But I will also want to say that I know at the last meeting we acknowledged all the people that were part of the first vaccination clinic. But we neglected to give a kudos also and the thank you to Mario Ferro as the director of the Citizen Corps and the Medical Reserve Corps, because they also participated in making that the vaccination clinic a success. So I apologize to Mario and the Citizen Corps for the lack of acknowledgement at the last meeting, and I hope they forgive us, but we do thank them for all their efforts. Last but not least, Kathy and I joined the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus on the Age Friendly Collaborative. We had a meeting on March the 4th. The topic was accessibility and universal design. And interesting, so that we had a couple of villages talk about their accessibility, their transition plans, for an example. And so something that, again, we can look towards when we get to that point. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Okay, Katie?
Would it be okay if
I was going to come back around, but go ahead.
Sorry.
No worries. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say,
mind, Katie?
I just wanted to briefly say, with this beautiful weather, I just ask people to be really careful. Kids are riding their bikes like crazy all over the last couple of days, and they can catch off guard. They're relearning their rules of the road and safety, and as being a young bicyclist. And as the mother of a former OPRF swim team captain, I can't even tell you how thrilling. I've sat many a meet watching those records sit there for decades. And lastly, I am more than 2 weeks vaccinated, and highly recommend everyone who's able to do what they can to appropriately get their vaccination when it's their turn, because I'm getting to sit here in a Zoom without a mask because of the new CDC guidelines. So I'm thrilled. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Kathleen. Okay. Katie?
Yeah. I have two items. First, piggybacking on Erica's comments, I wanted, today is International Women's Day, March 8th, and I wanted to also honor women and acknowledge the struggle for women's rights. International Women's Day means different things to different people. For many, it's a global holiday to commemorate cultural, political, and socioeconomic achievements by women. If you indulge me, I'd like to share my personal experience. I first celebrated March 8th, Women's Day, 20 years ago when I was living in Italy. And everyone you knew, from the local barista to neighbors to the local priest, all gave out little yellow mimosa flowers to every woman that they met. They explained to me that this was to commemorate the lives of women lost Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire in New York City in 1857. I was touched to learn this tragic U.S. story from Italians, and I had not heard it before. This afternoon, I ran a quick search just to confirm my understanding of the genesis of International Women's Day, and I learned a little bit more. A total of 40,000 female employees working at the textile factory in New York went on strike for better working conditions. They arrived at the scene and used violence to intervene in the women's protest. The factory owner came up with the idea of locking the employees in the factory to quash the rebellion. In the midst of all of this, a fire broke out at the factory. 120 of the women were tragically killed in the fire. More than 10,000 people showed up at the funerals of these women who lost their lives fighting for their rights. So that's my understanding of the very solemn and important reason why we celebrate International Women's Day today on March 8th. The second item I wanted to mention was to thank John Anderson. Oh yes, I do see him. Quickly responding and running point on an offer for a grant opportunity that we received from a non-for-profit called Active Trans, which promotes accessibility and improved conditions for bicycling, walking, and transit to engage people in active and healthy ways to get around. Active Trans is considering applying for an Invest in Cook grant to develop a plan for the Des Plaines River Trail gap between North Avenue and 26th Street. They were looking for a municipality to act as lead sponsor for this grant. And I know John emailed, they got in touch with us late last week. And I know John was in email contact and then had a phone call about it today. And after the phone call, I think it's been identified that it's not the right fit this year. Because River Forest has already obtained a phase one for part of the area that the grant would cover. So John, I know that you had a conversation with Active Trans today and you guys identified a couple different options. I'm bringing them up today because I know the grant deadline is in just a few days. And I'm wondering if there's a recommendation from staff as to the options that you guys talked about.
Right, right. So what we can do, I plan on applying for the next phase of the bike plan for this particular grant, because this grant is for connecting Cook County and biking is one way to do that. So I can do that with the next phase of the bike plan. And that's what I plan on doing at this point.
And is that a March 12th deadline?
Right.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Yeah, a great opportunity. Both in from Cook County and from Active Trans. So thanks, John, for doing that. Patty?
Thank you. I just want to say good evening to everyone. And I will echo some of the comments as well about International Women's Day. So thank you for sharing all of that information from both Trustee Bachner and Trustee Brennan. Appreciate that. And congratulations to the high school swim team. Impressive to set all those records as mentioned. I have a couple clarification items I'd like to ask. The first one being to Lisa, if you don't mind. There seemed to be a bit of confusion about what the next steps will be for the commission conversation in terms of timing, when things would perhaps come back to the board, when a potential schedule for a town hall or some, you know, not or informational meeting for residents to be part of that conversation. Could you explain what you're thinking next steps will be?
Sure. So when we last discussed this at the board meeting, I had asked for 90 days to be able to conduct some research, hold some meetings, and come back to the village board with that analysis. I have not yet scheduled those meetings. As soon as I do, they will be announced. I've gotten an inquiry from a resident who was looking for information on the board and commission page. This isn't a board or a commission or advisory group. These will be public meetings that will be advertised through e-news, social media, and on the village's website. And we'll post them on the agenda and meetings portion of the page as well as under e-news.
So you're thinking that having the meetings within that time and 90 days to have something then back to the board for consideration, is that right?
That's the hope. Certainly there's other things that come up from time to time. And so I'm looking for a 90-day timeline just to give myself an opportunity, quite frankly, to get the budget before the board next month. There's a big lift. So there's a few things that are priorities. Certainly getting DEI off the ground is a priority. And so this is a priority too. But there's just a few things we want to be able to execute before we get to that so we can focus our attention properly on all these things.
Yeah, no, I understand that you've got a lot on your plate right now. I just wanted to clarify that just people had questions, so I have a timing there.
Sure.
And then the other point would be, I would like to ask for, at our next meeting, to have an update regarding Lake and Lathrop in terms of status of things, sales, a report on the cleanup, and confirmation. I've been trying to get confirmation on the timeline deadlines that the developer has in terms of my understanding, at least from the last redevelopment agreement that was approved in October 2019, the developer would finish the project in November of 2021. So if there's documentation where that's not the case, if that could be shared at our next meeting.
Yeah, we could certainly provide the board with an update.
Okay. So we haven't had one in quite a while, and then the cleanup in particular too, seeing a report on the cleanup of what's been done. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. Okay, Bob?
Just to follow up on Patty. Patty, if you go on the village website, there's an update as of this afternoon. So a lot of the questions that you just asked, the answers are out there for you. So you can jump on, but I agree, we keep getting updated on that. I too attended a International Women's Day presentation put on by my company today. Very interesting, featured a lot of our women leaders from around the world with a lot of different perspectives, not only internal McDonald's people, but also some of our suppliers and our franchisees. And it was time well spent. And they did a really nice job of capturing the essence of the day and the celebration. And then over the weekend, if you attended any of the forums, a lot of conversations around the diversity equity initiative. And I want to congratulate Kathy, President Ducey, and our fellow board members. You know, I think we really, a special shout out to Erica too. We really, move that thing along with pretty rapid expedience. You know, when you look at a town of our size, and I know there's a lot of conversations that preceded our conversations in the fall that took place between Kathy and Dominican. And I think it was really good that we were able to put that out to people, that they knew that was going on and it was completed. Our neighbors to the east have been working on it for a while, and it's my understanding are nowhere near to a resolution as we are. And then lastly, again, a big shout out to the people at Jewel and the folks who worked on the second round of shots. I got a call from someone on Monday night asking if there was still any availability. And I went on the website and put somebody on a wait list. And she called me at 9:30 the next morning saying, "Can you come and get me? I need a ride over there." And we're in and out really quick. And the team did a great job, and you know, Lisa and everybody on the team. Again, the senior citizens are so appreciative of having that, and again, a big shout out to Kathy, the fellow trustees, and the team for getting that done. It was a great opportunity for our village to shine again. So thanks again.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks. Yeah, a lot has been completed and accomplished. So I very much appreciate those kind words. So let me just talk a little bit about the International Women's Day. I prepared a few remarks because I do believe this is a very important day. So I'd like to take a few minutes to honor International Women's Day, a time to celebrate all the achievements of women across the world, all the contributions they've made to social, economic, cultural, and political achievements and advancements. Women stand at the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis as healthcare workers, caregivers, innovators, community organizers, and as some of the most exemplary and effective national leaders in combating the pandemic. The crisis has highlighted both the centrality of their contributions and the disproportionate burdens that women carry. I pledge to work to make the changes that will allow every girl and woman to fulfill their God-given potential. And I call on all of us to stand up for women's rights to decision-making in all areas of life, equal pay, equal sharing of unpaid care and domestic work, and all forms of violence against women and girls and healthcare services that respond to their needs. This is a wonderful day for us to celebrate, and I want to congratulate all the women in the world that are celebrating International Women's Day today. I also want to echo what Rez said. I was part of the Age Friendly Collaborative on March 4th. I led it. I'm the chair of that collaborative, and we did talk about accessibility in the Fair Housing Act, and it was a very interesting conversation, hearing what other municipalities are doing around our region. I also want to acknowledge, I did not know, so Erica, thank you very much for bringing it to our attention about the school swim team. We'll make sure that we send a note over to the superintendent, Lisa, and congratulating them for their achievement on behalf of the village and myself and the board. Also, as you might have read in the news, President Biden has signed, or will sign, the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package. That's a huge significance to cities like us. We will be seeing some, I believe, some significant money coming from that bill. So I will thank our senators and our representatives in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate for their help in moving that along and getting us some relief, needed relief. And I will be sending out a correspondence on what all this means to River Forest, and it will be significant. And then last, I am going to be presenting civic governance to third graders and fourth graders to the Lincoln School and tomorrow, and then on Thursday to Willard. They'll get a little feel about what we do here in the village and what all of us, the staff, the trustees, myself, do in our role. So if you run into any third or fourth graders, ask them about the presentation. Okay, that's all I have. So we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. So if I can have a motion and a second. For the consent agenda A through D.
Motion to approve the consent agenda items A through D.
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions on the consent agenda?
Did one, Lisa? Kathy, I do have one. Lisa, in your report on zoning, you indicated that 400 Ashland wants to add residential. Didn't they already do that? So this wouldn't be an effort to avoid to lower their tax. No, this is just to add another unit?
Correct. So correct. There is a pending plan development application from the property owner at 400 Ashland Avenue. That was approved as a mixed-use property several years ago, and it was approved with one residential unit. They are looking to add another residential unit. There would not be an impact to the village's property tax revenue as a result of this change. However, the original plan development contemplated one unit, and so they have to go through a check and balance of coming back and seeking permission to add additional residential units because the property is still zoned commercial, and we don't want them essentially converting it to a residential building without any input from the village or any oversight from the village. So with them being under an existing plan development, this would trigger a major amendment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Hearing no further questions, I'll ask the clerk to read the consent agenda and then take the vote.
Item A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, February 22nd, 2021. B, monthly department reports. C, accounts payable, February 2021, $1,448,816.83. D, village administrator's report. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, and then item six is consent items for separate consideration. If I can get a motion and a second on 6A.
I move we approve payment from the general fund to McDonald's Caravitas for $73.50.
I'll second.
Second.
Okay.
I would ask
hearing
that the clerk
no
not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I would ask that the clerk not call my name because of my conflict with the franchisee.
Do you want me to read it?
Please read it and then February accounts payable from the general fund to McDonald's Caravitas for $75. I'm going to start over because I said it wrong. A, February accounts payable from the general fund to McDonald's Caravitas for $73.53. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, then we have no boards and commission committees updates, no unfinished business. We have one item on the new business. This is a waiver of formal bids and purchase of a portable radio. So if I can get if a trustee could please move and second it, we'll then discuss it.
I move to waive formal bids due to a state contract quote and approve purchase of portable radios for $139,159.15.
I'll second.
Lisa, do you want
to? Yeah, I'm going to give Chief Bowman an opportunity to. I'll give Chief Bowman an opportunity to present this and discuss the grant funds that were received for this purchase. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So back in February of 2018, I applied on behalf of the fire department for an assistance to firefighter grant for 20 new portable radios plus accessories, extra batteries, chargers, microphones, that sort of thing. Assistance to firefighter grants are very hard to get. So for fiscal year 2019, we put in the CIP a plan to replace all of our radios over a 5-year period. And then in September of 2019, we were awarded the grant for $95,000. I know I have it here somewhere.
$95,238.
Thank you. I couldn't find it on my sheet. Which is going to pay a significant portion of the purchase of these radios. Due to the grant, we're required to purchase those exact radios. We've got a quote from a state contract from Chicago Communications for $139,159.15. So the village's portion would be $43,921.15. We have until September to use that grant. We're trying to get it done now so we we're definitely ahead of that deadline, because there'll be some time between when we put the order in and when we get the radios, about 4 to 6 weeks. That should give us plenty of time before September. These are state-of-the-art tri-band radios that are very necessary. The current radios we have, we got from the county. They're way past their useful life. They're still operating, and we're grateful for that, but we need to get these replaced as soon as we can.
All right, Kathy, I just have kudos to Chief Bowman for following up with the application and the financing of it. I know this has come up before, where our staff have been pretty vigilant about getting grants or some other assistance from other government entities and or for some other non-for-profit grants. So thank you for doing that, and it's great. And then we're also pulling it from the state contracts, which I know they bid their contracts as well. So I think that's a good win-win all the way around. So thank you all.
Chief, I commend you as well. I'm just wondering, is there a viable alternative that's substantially cheaper than this? I'm just surprised that the grant dictates what sort of radio you have to buy.
Well, no, we put in for these specific radios, and then they're supposed to, based on our population size, they're supposed to pay for 95% of the purchase price, but they determined that the cost that we put in was that we should be able to get them cheaper. Unfortunately, we can't, we only have limited vendors that we can go to. There's only certain vendors that are allowed to sell them in our area. And the cost was higher. However, I will say that because we waited until this year instead of using it last year, we actually saved another $17,000 because the price from the state quote went down that much from last year to this year. So last year it was supposed to be $161,000, and now it's down to $164,000, and it's down to $139,000 now. So,
but are these radios competitively priced with alternative radios that would be available? I'm just trying to figure out if it's just, I find it weird that the grant dictates what sort of radio you have to buy.
Well, it's not so much that the grant dictates what radio you have to buy. The only thing that they dictate is that it has to be P25 and it has to be NFPA compliant. But what you put in there to request, and you have to request a specific item, then they either approve it or disapprove it. And if they approve it, then you have to purchase exactly what you said you were going to buy.
I understand. So you chose these radios, and now by the terms of the grant, you got to stick with what you chose.
Yes.
Okay.
These are,
I misunderstood
these,
that.
No.
These are tri-band radios, so they work on VHF, UHF, and digital signals, which is becoming more and more necessary for public safety.
And Tom, that's not unusual with all the state grants that I had to deal with, right? Whatever you submit, once they approve, they won't let you change it.
No, I thought the grant terms dictated up front what you had to buy, not that we said this is what we wanted to buy. So I understand now.
Chief, I have a question. It might be sort of similar vein as Tom's. Does the purchase that you're proposing cover all of the radios that we need to buy that we were planning on buying over a 5-year span?
Yes, it covers all the radios that we were planning on buying over the 5-year span for the fire department. The police department has their own CIP for radios. It's set up the same as the fire department was. However, we're not using the CIP since we're using the grant for the fire department anyway.
Right. And so did our grant cover all of them? So now we have to buy all of them, even though the grant doesn't cover all of them?
No, the grant covers all of them. We in the grant, we ask for money to buy 20 radios, so we have to buy 20 radios. And that would be the 20 radios that we were going to buy over the 5-year period.
But
I think what you're saying, Katie, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was supposed to cover 95% of the cost.
That answers my question. That's why we're paying the additional 40, $6,000 or something.
Right.
Yeah, 44.
We're paying the difference of the total amount of the radios minus what the grant paid.
Right, and that explains why we can't just buy 95,000 worth of them, because the grant covers a certain percentage of each radio. So we have to buy all of them in order to get the benefit of the grant.
Well, the grant is intended to cover 95% of the total cost. However, when they awarded us the grant, they determined that the price that we put in, which we got from a quote, was higher than what the average price is around the country. So apparently there's different prices depending on what part of the country you're in. So we got a lower amount than what we had asked for.
I see. Interesting.
Can I just clarify between the fire department and police department, the 20, is that for both, or you're saying the fire department needs 20 and then there are others for the police department?
Right, with the CIP plan that we had, the fire department was supposed to buy 20 over 5 years and the police department was supposed to buy 20 over 5 years. This will cover the fire department's part. The police department is still using the CIP to purchase their radios over the 5 year period.
Okay.
Because the grant was for the firefighters. Particular grant was for firefighters. Okay. Right. Okay.
Chief, you won't be able to communicate with the police department over these radios then?
Yes, we will. We'll have we'll have some of their bands on our radio and they'll be able to communicate with us on some of the bands.
Chief, what is the expectation of usage, the length of usage for these radios? You said the ones that we have right now, we've been able to use them for 10 years. Is there an approximate length of time for these?
We've actually used them for more than 10 years. The useful life of a radio is about 10 years.
All right. Okay. Good grilling. All right. So good. Any other further questions that the trustees have on for Chief Bowman? Okay. Hearing no further questions. Thank you, Chief. Very good presentation. And thank you for the grant. I do appreciate every department finding every nook and cranny money that we can get. So thank you very much. So I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Baxter?
Yes.
Motion passed. Okay, that's all we have for tonight, so we're making good progress. The one thing that I want to add, if I can here, and I forgot during my comments, that I want to thank Lisa Shiner. I want to thank the staff for the Tuesday, March 2nd free clinic that we put on here at Village Hall. It was awesome. Thank you so much. The residents are, especially our older adults, are very, very pleased about it, and it couldn't have gone It couldn't have gone any better than what it did. And of course, the Citizens Corps and all the volunteers that staffed it with you. So thank you so much and really appreciate it. Thank you.
It was our pleasure. Thank you. I know you attended both events. Thank you very much for helping out. We needed all hands on deck both times.
Yep.
We had a very short amount of time to get the March 2nd clinic assembled. And so our team worked like the wind to get it done. Kurt and Sergeant Grill, Chief O'Shea, Commander Greenwood, John Pape, everybody here on staff just did an outstanding job with both. We've still got two more to go because we've got two more doses, right?
Yep.
And so we think we will be able to operate those like clockwork as well. We're very proud of what happened and what we were able to do for the community. It was quite a thing.
Great. Well, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, if there we have no executive session, so I'd ask for adjournment.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes. Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay, just real quick, I want to remind everybody that our next board meeting is April 12th due to the spring break. So everyone have a good spring break.
And just a reminder, there is a committee of the whole meeting scheduled for 6 p.m. on April 12th, so we can talk about the budget.
Yeah, and we'll get everything out to you guys so you have enough. So good night.